Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with Thomas Shepard, the Sound Believer. We're still in Chapter 1, Section 5. The fourth and last act of Christ's power is the work of faith. And last time we started through the special ground of faith, which is point 5, which is the call of Christ in His Word. And we left off at the application that He was going to make. And so, Lord willing, we're going to do that part, this reading, and I'll go ahead and start here. So he says, thus much for the explication of the call. Now let me put an end to it in a word of application. Let this persuade all sorts of persons, young and old, one and another, to whom the gospel is sent, to come into Jesus Christ. For those that God calls should come, but the Lord calls, at least outwardly, all sorts of persons, nay, every individual person, to come in, Mark 16, 15 and 16. And Paul told the stout jailer, if thou believest, thou shalt be saved. And look, as the law speaks particularly to every man, thou shalt have no other gods, etc. So does the gospel also, Romans 10, 9, that so every man might look upon himself as spoken to in particular. And indeed, if there were not such a particular call, then men should not sin by refusing the gospel, nor should the Lord be angry for so doing, but their sin and condemnation is great that so do, John 3:19. And the Lord is more wroth for this sin than any other, Psalm 2, verse 12, Luke 14:18, Hebrews 3:10, 11, and 19. In one word, either the Lord would have you, whoever you are, to receive Christ or to reject and so despise Christ. And if the Lord would have you reject him, he would then have you sin and continue in it, which cannot stand either with the honor of God's holiness or of his rich grace. I shall here, therefore, open two things. Number one, set down means to enable you to come. Number two, show you how and in what manner you should come. So first, the means. Number one, consider who it is that does call you. Is it man or ministers? Think you? You might never come by then. No, it is Jesus Christ himself that calls you by them. Why do many discouraged spirits refuse to come? It is because they think deceitful men or charitable men call them, but the Lord has no respect unto them? Oh, foolish conceit! I tell you, their ministry is not an act of their charity, wishing well to the salvation of all, but it is an act of Christ's love and sovereign authority, Matthew 18, verses 18 to 20. So that what they do, it is in Christ's stead, 2 Corinthians 5, 19, 20. If Christ were present, he would call you to him with more bowels than any compassionate minister can have. And I assure you, to receive them is to receive Christ. To despise them is to despise Christ, John 13:20. And therefore, Ephesians 2:14, although the apostles preached to the Ephesians, yet it is said that Christ came and preached to them. If any minister preached any other doctrine of grace than what Christ hath delivered, let him be accursed. But if they publish his mind and his call, look upon them as if the Lord himself called unto you, lest the Lord accurse you and all their ministry to you. The Lord Jesus did not cast off the Jews for crucifying of him and shedding his blood until the gospel of grace published by his messengers came to them, and that was rejected. And then Paul waxed bold and said, because you put away the word from you, we leave you. Acts 13:46. Oh, beloved, if you did believe Christ called you poor prodigals that have run riot and sinned against him as much as you could, if he called you home to unto him, suppose Christ was present, would it not draw you in? Suppose he was with you in the chamber where you are crying after him, or in the church where you are waiting for him, and he should appear visibly before your eyes and open his bosom and bowels and blood before you, and calling unto you to this purpose, I do beseech you and entreat you, by all these tears I have shed for you in the days of my flesh, by all those bitter agonies I have suffered for you, by all these tender bowels which have been rolled together toward you, come unto me, embrace me, lay your wearied head in this blessed bosom of mine, crucify me no longer by your sins, tread me not underfoot by your unbelief any more, and I will pardon all your sins, though as red as crimson, I will heal your cursed nature, I will carry you in my own bowels up to glory with me, where all sins and tears and sorrows shall be abolished, etc. If he were there presently, in right in front of you to say that, who would not now come into him? Let me see that man that has a heart of adamant that would not melt and come in at this. Oh, my beloved, this very call is done as really by Christ in his ministry now, though not so visibly and immediately or directly as I now describe. And therefore, take heed how you refuse to hear him that speaks from heaven, Hebrews 12:25. Consider whom the Lord calls, and that is you in particular, whoever you are, to whom the gospel of Christ is sent. For if you think Christ calls some only, that are so and so deeply humbled only to come, and not unto you in particular, you will never come in. But we have proved this, that the Lord calls all in general, and consequently each man in particular. The consideration of this may bring you in. Men fear to commit murder and steal, etc., but you fear not unbelief. But the apostle bids you fear that, for the gospel is preached, he says, unto you, as well as unto those that fell by unbelief, Hebrews 4, verses 1 and 2. Do not say he calls me indeed, but it is no more than what he does to reprobates. True, in the outward call it is so. Yet upon this ground you may think the Lord commands not, calls not you to sanctify a Sabbath or to honor God's name, because this is as common as reprobates as unto you. Do not say, I am not able to come, and therefore I am not called. No more are you able to attend the rules of the moral law. Yet you look upon them as appertaining to you, and because you cannot do them, you entreat the Lord to enable you. And so because you cannot come, you should look up to the Lord to draw you. And verily, many times the great reason why the Lord does not draw you is because you do not deeply consider that he does really and affectionately call you. Do not say, I am a dry tree. The Lord cannot look upon me, whose condition is worse than ever I heard or read of. Yet remember what the Lord speaks to such, Isaiah 65:3-7. Look not you to your barren and dead heart, but give glory unto God as Abraham did, Romans 4:19-20. And receive his grace with more thankfulness than any else, because none ever so miserable as yourself. You young men, hear this, though you have spent the flower of your years in vanity, madness, and filthy lusts, yet the Lord calls you in to him. You old men, grown gray-headed in wickedness, though it be the last hour of the day in your life, yet behold, the Lord would hire you and calls you to come in, before the sorest wrath of a long-provoked God break out upon you. You that have despised God's messengers, crucified the Lord Jesus afresh, imbrued your hands in his blood, scorned and hated the saints, and the word of God's grace, hear what wisdom says, Proverbs 1:22-23, return ye scorners. Oh, consider, you that are ignorant of Christ, that never sought after Christ many a year together, that have continually provoked him to his face, how the Lord calls you, Isaiah 65:1-3, you, even you, are all those the Lord calls, and will you not come? Consider why the Lord calls you. Is it because he has any need of you to honor him? I tell you, he could have gone to others that would have given his gospel better welcome than it has had from you. He could have gone to many kings and princes, and out of that golden metal have made himself vessels of honor, rather than out of such base mold as you are made of, like clay. He could have honored himself in your ruin, as in many millions of other men, and lose nothing by you neither. he could have been blessed without you in the bosom of his father? Or is it because you have done anything for him? Alas, you have not returned him your nutshells. You have not had so much as a form of religion. You have done as much mischief to him as you could, Jeremiah 3:5. You have wearied him with your iniquities and made him serve with your sins and has subdued his heart exceedingly by strong impenitency, Isaiah 43:24. The only reason that has moved him to call upon you has been to pity you, seeing you running to the fire that never can be quenched without stop or stay, 2 Chronicles 36:15 and 16, and because thou art fallen by thine iniquities, Hosea 14:1. And shall this bring you home? Consider for what end the Lord calls you or purpose. Is it not to come and take possession of all the grace of Christ, Galatians 1:6, nay, of all the glory of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, nay, to a most near, sweet, and everlasting fellowship with Christ himself, 1 Corinthians 1:9. And can I say any more? Can you desire any more than this? If the Lord should say to any of us, come into the garden and there watch and pray with me and sorrow and suffer with me, who of us would not account ourselves unworthy of such honor? But for the Lord to say, come and enter into your rest, the land, the kingdom of grace and glory is before you. Go up and possess it. Oh, where are our hearts if this call will not draw? If the Lord should say at the day of judgment, when the heavens and earth shall be on a light fire and the Lord Jesus set upon the throne of his glory, admired of all his saints and angels, come you blessed and take the kingdom prepared for you, would you not gladly come at that call? Oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus now on the throne of his glory in heaven, behold, he calls you unto a better good than that kingdom. He calls you to come and take himself and all his precious benefits prepared for you, though in yourself accursed. And would he have you take possession of all this? Is it not the praise of the riches of his grace? Ephesians 1. If this be his end and purpose, then if you will not come for your own good, yet for his sake and his grace's sake, come. How long the Lord has called you, how often he would have gathered you. He has stood so long until his locks are wet with dew of the night, Canticles or Song of Solomon 5 verses 1 and 2. It may be you are afraid. It has been so long that now time is past. Oh, no, for whilst the Lord calls by his word and spirit, now is the acceptable time. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. I confess there is a time wherein the Lord will not be found, but whilst the Lord is near to you by his ministry, by his Holy Spirit, convincing, affecting, stirring, knocking at your heart, the time is not yet past, the sun is not yet set. So long as those beams appear, Isaiah 55:6, those thoughts which discourage you from coming to Christ, while the voice of his call is heard, cannot be of Christ, but Satan, whose principal work is to lay such stumbling blocks in our way to him. Any of those discouragements. Consider the greatness of your sin in not coming to him. Number one, this is the condemning sin, for no sin should condemn you if you didst come to him, John 3:17 and 19. You should please him and, as it were, make him amends for all the wrongs you have done unto him by coming to him, so to speak, Hebrews 11:5 to 7. Number two, this aggravates all other sins. If I had not spoke to them, said Christ, they had had no sin, or in other words, comparatively, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Can the sin of devils be so great as yours that never had a Savior sent to them? Yet you have one sent and come out of heaven to you, calling to you from heaven, and yet you despise him. Number three, this provokes the Lord to most unappeasable and unquenchable wrath. Hebrews 3:11, I swore in my wrath they should not enter into my rest. after sins against the law, the Lord did not swear that man should die, for that notes an unchangeable purpose. But let Christ be despised, the Lord now swears in his wrath against such a one. He that draws back, my soul shall take no pleasure in him, Hebrews 10:38. After sin against the law, the Lord took pleasure in glorifying his grace upon man fallen. But if you draw back from the grace of Christ in the gospel, the Lord will take no pleasure in you. Number four, it provokes the sorest and most unsupportable wrath. Take heed you despise not him that speaketh, for if they did not escape who refused him that spake on earth, much less shall we that despise him that speaks from heaven, Hebrews 12:25. Take heed, therefore, you despise not him that speaks. The word despise signifies in the original to despise or refuse upon some color of reason. Every man has some seeming reason against believing. One thinks time is past. Another thinks he is excluded by some antecedent decree of election. Another thinks he is not humbled nor holy enough. Another makes excuse not by pretending his alehouse and whoredom, but his farm and merchandise, Matthew 22. Another thinks he is well enough without Christ, etc. Oh, take heed, for the wrath of God most intolerable is your portion. The lowest dungeon of darkness is your place in hell for this sin. Hear, ye despisers, and wonder, for I will work, says the Lord, a work in your days which you shall not believe, though it be told you, Acts 13:41. I pray you, what is this work? Certainly a work of wrath and vengeance, but what is it? You will not believe, though you be told of it, O you secure sinners. But what is it that they will not believe? Nay, truly, the Lord himself is silent there and said nothing, as if it was so great and dreadful that the glorious Lord himself is not able to express it, and truly no more am I. O therefore, be not worse than that generation of vipers that came into John, because some had forewarned them to escape the wrath to come, Matthew 3, but come unto a Savior that you may be blessed with him ever. But you will say, how should we come to him? Come to him mourning, M-O-U-R-N, and loathing yourself for your long continuance in refusing of him, Jeremiah 31:9, Ezekiel 6:9. Come mourning for all your sins, but especially for this, that you have slighted him and not sought him, shed his blood, you rent his bowels. But if you cannot come, yet come to him and make your moan to him of your unbelief and ability to come. Come with confidence that they that do come he will never cast away, and that you being come, he will never cast you away. John 6:37, Hebrews 10:22. Come gladly and willingly, glorifying his grace, but abasing yourself. With gladness shall they be brought and enter into the king's presence, Psalm 45:15. Do not receive God's grace as a common thing, but thankfully and with all your heart, for the end or purpose why the Lord gives Christ to any man is the glory of his grace. If the Lord attains this end or purpose, he desires no more, for why should he when he has his end or purpose accomplished? Do not come and taste, but come and drink, John 7:37. You may famish to death and pine away in your iniquities and prove apostates, even to commit the unpardonable sin, if you do but taste of him, as those did in Hebrews 6:4-5, but drink abundantly, O ye beloved of the Lord, Canticles or Song of Solomon 5:1. If you cannot satisfy your souls by what you feel already received from him, then satiate your souls by what you may find in him, Isaiah 45:24. Take possession of all the grace, glory, peace, promises of the Lord Jesus, and leave not a hoof behind you, and be forever refreshed and comforted therein. So come to him as that you keep your confidence and keep your savor of him and joy in him, Hebrews 3:14 with chapter 6. Let the word that called you be ever sweet and precious, as David said, Psalm 119:53, I will never forget thy precepts, for by them thou hast quickened me. Let the Lord Jesus be ever fresh, Hebrews 3:6, and as anointment poured out, take heed that the blood wherewith you are sanctified do not grow a common thing, and promises withered flowers, and sermons of Christ and his grace, unless there be some new notions about them, as dead drink, for this is the great sin of this age. The old truths about the grace of Christ and the simplicity of the gospel are as water in men's shoes. Ministers must preach novelties and make quintessential extracts out of the scriptures, and it may be press blood out of them sometimes rather than milk, or else their doctrines are too many as almanacs out of date, or as news they have heard 7 years since, and they knew this before. Oh, the wrath of God upon this God-glutted, Christ-glutted, gospel-glutted age. Unless it be among a very few poor believers whose souls are kept empty, poor, and hungry by some continual temptations or afflictions, and they are indeed glad of anything, if it be anything, of Christ. Verily, I am afraid, such a dismal night is toward of spiritual desertions and of outward, but sore afflictions of famine, war, blood, mortality, deaths of God's precious servants especially, that the Lord will fill the hearts of all churches, families, Christians that shall be saved in those times with such rendings, tearings, shakings, and anguish of spirit as scarce never more in the worst days of our forefathers, and that this shall continue until the remnant that escapes shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the face and feet of the minister that shall come unto us in Christ's name and tell us that there is a Savior for sinners and that he calls us for to come. And thus I have done with this divine truth, vis-a-vis, that the Lord Jesus, in the day of his power, saves us out of our wretched and sinful estate by so much conviction as begets compunction, so much compunction as brings in humiliation. Again, compunction is a sense of sin. So conviction that begets a sense of sin, a sense of the heinousness of the sin, and compunction that brings the humiliation, and so much humiliation as makes us come to Christ by faith. And that is his conclusion for all of chapter 1. Which we're at now. So this brings us to the end of the overall chapter 1, section 5, we just finished now, the point of faith, and then finishing chapter 1, which was, as the great cause of the eternal perdition of men is of themselves, so the only cause of the actual deliverance and salvation of man is Jesus Christ. And he went through those five sections going through that. And we will stop there for this time. And Lord willing, we'll continue on to chapter 2 next time, which is entitled, That Every Sinner Thus Believing in Christ is at that instant translated into a most blessed and happy estate. But until then, go heeding this great, gracious, glorious, and loving call of Christ to bring you as a sinner to himself and for himself as a person, and his benefits, and may we seek at his feet until he grant that. And he says, if we do so earnestly and completely humbled, seeking for him, he will in no wise cast us out. Thank the Lord and amen. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.